All right. Well, hello, and welcome to our first live show of 2023, guys. My name's Eric, amateur radio call sign, N1JUR. And I'd like to welcome everybody listening, and hopefully those that are starting to come into the chat, to Live Free and Ham Podcast. We're all super excited to hear you guys. And if this is your first time checking us out, it's our bi-weekly show where we explore various topics related to amateur radio with a particular focus on New Hampshire and New England. As always, I'm thrilled to have you guys here. And whether you're a first-time listener or one of our regulars, thanks for being part of our ham family. We'd like to greatly appreciate and say your support by leaving a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform of choice if you like any of our content. As this is our first live show ever, it will be available 24 hours from this recording once the stream ends. And if you provided feedback, I appreciate that immensely. We all do. Keep those reviews coming as it lets us know how we're doing. And you can always support us via Patreon or buy us a beer links located on the support the show links on our website. And please go check out our website at livefreeandham.com to catch up on previous episodes. Check out our latest merch and follow us on social media for all of our updates. As always, from all of our hosts here, we thank you guys for the support and all the love. So I'm joined live today with my two favorite hosts, best buds. First one is Ryan. How are you doing today, Ryan? What's going on?
Yeah, doing great. Glad to be here on our first live show.
All right. Hey, Todd, welcome to our live show, man. How are you doing? What's going on with you?
Same old, same old. It's good to be live. Never done this before, so this is a first for me. But looking forward to it.
Very cool. All right. Well, we definitely have a bunch of people in the chat, hopefully. Feel free to comment on any of the streams. And, hopefully as time goes through the podcast here or live show a little bit, we might invite a few people on. Stay tuned for that. We do have another guest, one of our previous guests on a podcast that will soon air. Will be joining us after he finishes his net duties. So stay tuned for him. As always, as we start out every show, guys, in usual fashion, we're going to talk about what's been going on in your ham week. I know, obviously, we all came off a field day about a week ago, so we've all had a chance to decompress a little bit. But I know when I leave field day, I somehow come back with a list of like, oh, I got to do this, or I got to try this, or, it invigorates me to kind of go out and do something, after field day. So any of you guys kind of, run into any of that or, feel free to share. So throw it over to you, Ryan. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was, I didn't have the opportunity to spend a lot of time at field day this year, but the couple hours that I was spending there, came back after everyone had packed up, started looking at camping gear. I think one of the things I need to research better is shelters and keeping the equipment dry and making it easier for setup and takedown and just more creature comforts during the whole weekend experience.
Very cool. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely got a lot of rain this year. We broke our winning streak of sun for, our every year from field day, but this day we got the deluge of rain for sure, but didn't stop any of us from, having fun. So, Todd, obviously what your experiences, I know you were running around going crazy yourself, but anything you kind of gleaned from field day this year?
Well, it never goes as planned, right? So I got there Friday and I brought this new clam shelter, screened in octagon, awesome shelter, and it's just supposed to pop up, piece of cake, take 5 minutes. I got it on Amazon. Of course, I didn't look at it before I get there, and it was inside out. So it took a while to figure out why it wouldn't work. Then we figured out it was inside out, and luckily KF4TPY was using his marine skills, and we were able to retwist it and get it up and going. So the thing was great, a lot of ventilation. I brought the side panels to keep the rain out, and very happy with it. It took me literally 5 minutes to take it down. I mean, literally it just implodes on itself and fits in the bag. So that was good. But then the negative thing is we found out that my DX10 wasn't transmitting. Or it was, but at a low wattage. And I did make, I think, 4 or 5 contacts with low wattage, but I couldn't understand why no one could hear me because they were all coming in so clear.
But then, that's when we got to say
Team Icon. Team Icon gets him again.
Yeah, Team Icon came to the rescue. Ryan brought his radio in, and we swapped him out. But luckily, I called. I was pretty bummed out because I was like, oh, this is going to be not too good because this is the radio I'm making into my Go Box. And found out that it's under warranty. So I borrowed a dummy load from W1WRA Bill, and I'm testing it, and I'm probably going to send it back tomorrow, and they'll fix that and get it back and put it in the Go Box.
Now, did they have any like rough idea of like what they think might be wrong? Is it they think that's the finals, or they?
Yeah, they think it's the finals. The guy said, he goes, just do this test on FM, which we didn't do. I mean, we did pretty much all the tests that he asked me to do, mm-hmm. but we didn't try it on FM. And he also wants me to try it with a different mic. So I'm going to test it on FM. I'm going to use the two mics that I have and my headset and see if anything happens. And if it doesn't, then I call him back. I get an order number and ship it back to him.
Good. Well, at least your baby will get fixed and should be ready for the Go Box.
Yeah, I mean, it was receiving great. I mean, I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. And then I'm like, how come no one's answering me back? And then I did get that first one from Nova Scotia. And the guy's like, I can barely hear. You're like a 3-2. I'm like, what?
I know. That thing was hooked up to a hex beam. There's no way.
I know. It's like that antenna is like, I haven't gotten a chance to like really use it with that it's actually worked right for me. But once I got the ICOM, thanks, Ryan. And I made some good contacts, but
yeah, and it's always neat at field day because, you know, we're running on a battery power. We're separate from our shacks, and it's I find it much it's very quiet. You know, the RF noise is subdued, and you know, those signals really come in nice. It's also interesting. There was a Todd Certain Weil that was there with you know, her voice was able to really break in some of those pileups. So I know Todd was trying for a while. You know, she stepped right up to the microphone and one contact after another. So that was funny.
I'm trying to break up a pileup for at least 20 minutes. Like, I just could not get through. She gets on, does it once, boom, calls her right back.
What? Was that my daughter? That was my
daughter. Yeah, it was your daughter. I'm like, hey, you try it. I said, you'll probably get it right away. And sure enough.
She broke the curse because I remember our first field day I took her there. I was sitting in K1G's rig, 991. And I'm like, you're going to have fun because guaranteed they'll hear a female voice on the bands and they'll just come rushing to you. She could barely get one contact. I mean, she wasn't getting – like their pileups were like chirping, you know, crickets the whole entire time. And I was like – looking silly because my daughter, I'm telling her, like, you know, female voice is an extra 6 dB, no problem. You'll have no problem, you know, drinking from the fire hose pileup wise, and she got nothing. So I'm glad she had redemption this year. So very cool. Oh, yeah. So I guess for me, I had a lot of stuff that I brought, and, you know, I ended up kind of sort of feeling, you know, a little under the weather. So I didn't get a chance to do a lot of live streaming, which is what I really wanted to do. We did some live streaming, which we'll talk about a little bit, but. From what I got out of field day was, I wanted to get more into my digital stuff. Like I wanted to get into the All-Star portable stuff. So I had bought an All-Star, a clear node for the truck there. And that kind of sat on the bench for a while and I didn't get a chance to play with it. So I finally took it out of the box, finally, you know, bought a few little small parts in here or there, and I'm trying to set it up so I can put it in a small little like portable, you know, carry go box that I can tie in to you know, the car charging system, and, you know, use All-Star. Right now it's kind of just the combobulated parts of the, you know, the node and, you know, my wireless access a hotspot, and, you know, it's getting power off the truck's, you know, 12 volt source or 110 source on the truck. And you know, outside of it, works really great. It's been fun. I've been playing around with it. It's, you know, really good to be able to, like, you know, when I go away from the repeater, I can actually still stay connected to like the rest of the world and, you know, all you know, the East Coast Reflector and a few others. So you know, for what it's worth, it's pretty fun so far. I'm gonna really test it out when I get to Maine for our vacation coming up in the next 2 weeks or so. So I'm looking forward to kind of playing around with that. But, you know, the hex, man, I set that whole entire hex up thinking we were going to be like dominating. We were going to making contacts left and right. And, you know, Murphy's Law struck and hit your radio hard, which is a bummer. But the night before, like, we stole the antenna off your radio to go hook it up to KF4TPY's radio.
and I'll share more details on that. But like that came in like gangbusters. Europe was like our friend the whole entire night, and we were just, you know, sitting back and enjoying it and making a lot of contacts. So awesome stuff. It's always good. You know, hey, if you're playing radio, even, you know, just like with your repeaters, then, you know, it's all good. It's all ham radio. So it's totally awesome. So I guess tonight's show, we're going to kind of do a little, you know, go back and review. I mean, all of us kind of came into field day this year at different levels. And all of us talked, you know, all of us did a little different, you know, aspect of it. I mean, obviously, we'll dive into some of that. But we really want to just invite our audience. You know, if you guys are in the chat and you're watching us and checking us out, feel free to, you know, chit chat and, you know, pose your questions out there. Just phrase them with a question at the beginning so we know we can make sure we pick it up. You know, we're hoping maybe a little later once one of our favorite ham buddies, Tim, is finished up with his net duties. He'll jump back in here and share some of his insight because he is our official, unofficial, we'll call, concierge of catering. So, you know, he's done an amazing job every year with our field days, and he's always had some great stories there as well. And he did some CW operating, which I won't, you know, take his thunder on this year to talk about. So, you know, just in general, I mean, obviously you guys kind of came at it a little differently this year's field day. You know, let's kind of talk just on a high level. You know, we all built up the anticipation to coming up to that week. You know, was it any different than your other previous field days? Did you feel like, you know, there was going to be some higher level of expectation, or did you think, you know, there's going to be some amazing, you know, thing you wanted to accomplish on that field day, or, you know, that you kind of set forth to reach, you know, and did you come close to do it? You know, let's kind of start there.
Well, last year, right, didn't you say I had the most sideband contacts?
Yeah.
I didn't even come close this year. My goal was to beat that number. Yeah, it didn't happen. But that was equipment error, right? For the longest, I was out there for a couple hours basically transmitting nothing. I want to just go real quick to the comments. Bill, K1XF, he asked what happened to my finals. So, the finals went, I wasn't transmitting anything, maybe a watt or two. I did make four contacts. I called Yaesu. Radio is less than 3 years old. It's a three-year warranty. They gave me a list of things to do to test. Bill, W1WRA, lend me a dummy load. I'm going to test that on FM, and if it doesn't work, I just got to call them up tomorrow, and they will give me an order number, and I'll just send it back to them to fix. So hope that answers the question, Bill. And go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's we had a couple new members who were setting up their station and were operating, and that was pretty neat to have them participating with us. So it's always good to have new members, you know, being part of the big field day activity. You know, one thing I was wanting to do is some of the you know, during the evening hours, some of the operating stations, they tend to go quiet as people are around the campfire or whatnot. And you know, I took the opportunity to walk over to a few of the stations and fill in the gaps there for the transmitting.
Mm. Yeah, the whole experience was kind of funny because, like, in comparison to last year for me, we were really like, oh, we're all going to, you know, and we all kind of came at a different thing. So I think, Ryan, you had a scheduled, you know, vacation plan that kind of had a turn for the a different direction, and Todd, you know, as always, baseball, you know, is baseball. So you were, you know, six ways, and I give you credit. I couldn't, you know, I'm running around crazy enough doing planning and coordinating a field day. Nevertheless, you know, you doing baseball and trying to operate, you know, at any length of time was a, you know, feat in of its own. But I think between the 2 years from 22 to 23, I think for me it was just a little, you know, different atmosphere. There's definitely new players in the club that wanted to come in and you know, set up a station, and did phenomenally well, which I'm, you know, quite impressed. And the we'll call the repeat offenders that come every year tend to have a, you know, had a different, you know, viewpoint on it. And I you know, I was quite surprised that they warmed up in a different way. And we all just kind of got a chance to, you know, experience field day just a little differently. For me, it, you know, I started into Friday. I knew Thursday, you know, I wasn't feeling 100%. And, you know, I got a cold from, you know, somewhere, either my wife, she's a teacher, and, you know, anybody knows a teacher, you know, you end up, you know, becoming subject to, you know, all of the illnesses that she brings home from the classroom. So I somehow couldn't avoid it and brought it, you know, with me. So I had just a, you know, kind of a headache and, you know, just kind of muddling through the day on, you know, stuff to be able to keep me going. And, you know, it definitely slowed me down a bit. And so I kind of really just wanted to try to take it a little slower and whatnot. But every turn, as everyone knows, as a field day coordinator, well, you know, that you're pulled six ways to Sunday to try to get everything going. I think it went flawlessly overall. From my standpoint, I think all my fun was definitely had on Friday night when things kind of quieted down. And, you know, it was just Paul and I, KF4TPY, he had stayed overnight. And him and I just, you know, sat around the radio, had a couple of great steaks, you know, and a few, few good, drinks of, a couple of beers. And then, he cracked out the whiskey, which I don't know whether it was a good thing in hindsight. But, that just made those contacts much sweeter when we were talking to Europe and working Wales. I mean, Wales on the DX, Buddy Pole, Buddy Hex, which that is a phenomenal antenna. I have been blown away by it, spinning that thing around to pick up a Wales, a 5.9. And they were like, wow, you're super clear. We were, we were fighting the pileups, no problem with that thing.
Were you on 20 meters when you're doing that?
On 20 meters. It was totally,
20 meters. Lately, the last couple of weeks at night in the evening has just been phenomenal. Like I said, I've hit Europe too when I'm working those overnights and clear as could be.
So our cycle 25.
Mm-hmm. It giveth and taketh away, as they say, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment. My son Zach, who is the baseball player, is watching. So wanted to say hi to him. But you see, Zach, you see the dedication I do to your baseball? I miss half a field day coaching your baseball. So don't you forget that, okay?
Yeah, just remember when you have to change his diapers when he's 70. So
yeah, you remember that.
Overall, the mood was different, which is great. The bands, I think, were like we all expected. You know, we were coming into that whole entire week, as we all know. The bands were just all up and down. I remember trying to get a couple of POTAs in the weeks before, and it was just like touch and go and barely, making 10 contacts to activate a park. That it kind of made me feel like, okay, are we going to have a repeat of last year? But I think overall, we netted some really good numbers. The bands were pretty good. And I think equipment-wise, we had some, very good, very unique, very well-constructed setups. I mean, Paul, one of our station captains from my experience, I didn't have to think about. I mean, he had everything planned. He, had all of it all set up. So it was literally just like almost like I was, waiting for the Barker Lounger and, a nice concierge service to go boot, because he pretty much had it all planned out and everything was great. And our, everything this year, I think my thing that I wanted to get done this year, and we'll get into that a little bit, but I think we tried to do an education pavilion where we, trying to get the public there, but we got thwarted by rain, which, I thought was, something we could avoid, but, it killed the best of us.
Yeah, and for those who, are not in the area who are watching, the local news reported this past June as the third wettest June in recorded history. So it was raining cats and dogs for a long period of time. And I think if it had been sunny through the weekend, warmer temperatures, there would have been that much more activity. So weather definitely played a big deal there.
Yeah. And although, I mean, every tent that we had and every setup we had, there was not really much of a problem in terms of people getting super drenched. It's obviously when you had to get from one place to another that there was a gamble. And I, of course, I was not going to listen to it. I was subjecting, my reality for there, everybody else's, with the idea that it was not going to rain. And Mother Nature obviously had a different opinion of how that was going to work out. Let's go kind of a little bit deeper. I mean, obviously, Todd, you want to talk about a little bit, or Ryan, you can start off. What was your experience overall? Just you obviously weren't coming for the whole entire day, and you did spend the night, I think, Friday night over and whatnot. What was your kind of expectation to get there? Were you just looking to just kind of socialize, or did you have a plan?
Yeah, so this year we had a family vacation. I was supposed to be out of town, and then last minute changes, that fell apart. So I was home, and I was not a club station captain, so I didn't have a setup dedicated for field day. And so I was showing up more of a social and kind of filling the gaps, open radios. Spent the night Saturday night, which was a lot of fun. My son and I camped out with KC1 NID. Casey, and he's very generous with his camper there, and it was a great time. one of the highlights was Tim's cooking, which was fabulous. You know, it's definitely a highlight. So his hot sauce and everything else was a nice added perk. And, you know, we'll talk about that here in a brief moment. But, you know, overall, it's just a lot of fun hanging out with good friends.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree. I got to spend a little bit of time at the campfire and talking to people. Tim saved me a sandwich because lunch was over by the time I got there Saturday. And he had it in Casey's refrigerator. And it was a hell of a sandwich, I tell you. It was one of the best ones I've had in a long time. But next year he says he's doing omelets for breakfast. So I'm going to be there for his omelets. It should be good. Totally.
Let's see if he's ready to bring on, and we'll bring him here on the stream, guys. Here, hold on a second. Hey, Tim, you all done with your net duties there, and ready to you know, kind of jump right in?
Yes, I am.
Very cool. All right, well, it's kind of a good segue because, in essence, we've obviously been chatting about the, you know, the wonderful food and the extra 10 or 15 pounds that we walked away with from field day. So, you know, yes. So just to pose the same question to you, you know, what was your intended goal for when you kind of went into field day? Would, you know, what did you have, you know, did you want to set out to do, and did you accomplish it? And more so, you know, as being the food concierge, you know, catering, you know, for the whole event, you know, anything out of that, you know, you kind of want to throw in there or chit chat about it, you know, experience wise or, you know, anecdotally.
Yes. Yeah. I got a lot of stuff to say about field day, and it was a real good time. And I'll tell you, we're real lucky to have Eric there as our fearless leader in field day. And I think you do a wonderful job coordinating it. And all of us really appreciate that, because if it wasn't for you coordinating it, it wouldn't go anywhere near as well as it did and the way it did last year. And I really enjoyed this year. I didn't just do the food. I kind of figured out a way to do radio and the food. So that was my favorite part, and hanging around with all you guys and doing the live net from the field day site. It was all very exciting and, you know, funny. There was a lot of good moments on that net when, you know, with the dog, Chris and Todd's tent. And,
yeah. I don't know if Todd caught that video yet, but now he knows.
And Paul washed it off, but, you know, and then and the camera died, and we said, oh, we broke the camera. And, you know,
so Eric, can you kind of lay the groundwork there for everyone? Yeah. So how did the video go? The setup?
So those folks, if you want to go over and catch the video, you can go over to my YouTube channel at N1J or Amateur Radio. It's posted there as one of the live videos. But the whole intention was that I was going to live stream the whole entire weekend, and we were Tim was, you know, he basically came to me. He's like, dude, we're gonna do the net from the, you know, from field day site. I'm like, oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Let's live stream it. So I figured that work out all the bugs. Well, you know, we got the camera set up and everything was streaming well. And, you know, the net was going great, and everybody, you know, from the net was just jumping in and, you know, listening to the live stream and at the same time while they're on the net. And then, like, as Tim said, like, it was almost a comedy of errors. It was like, you know, Paul kind of jumped in and he was kind of sitting in the chair, and it was just, you know, it was going great to a certain point. And then, you know, before the battery had died on the, you know, GoPro camera for whatever reason, and, you know, we started having technical issues there. I didn't even see it, and Tim didn't bring it to my attention until, like, you know, it finally closed and, you know, the live show was over. He's like, dude, you got to go back and watch the video. I'm like, why? What's going on? Is it, you know, is it wrong? He's like, yeah, well, you know, Watson, Paul's dog, decided to christen, you know, Todd's tent. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, because I didn't even see it. And of course, it was like, you know, perfect. Like, you could, like, clear shot to the middle of the, you know, where you don't want to capture. You capture this dog being on the tent. It's like, Paul's all embarrassed. So he goes over and grabs the water and, you know, gives the dog a hard time. But it was like a perfect ending to, you know, a good, typical net.
That's funny.
So Tim,
it was really fun, Eric.
I wish we could have live streamed more.
And I liked having a fire you know, we had a fire on Saturday night and we all kind of sat around the fire and talked and out in the country, you know, under the stars. And it was just such a good time. And I think all of us will always remember the things we did at Field Day, you know, because it is so much fun and we don't get to do that stuff, you know, all the time.
Bill is very true. About the finals. The dog didn't know about the finals for sure. So Tim, obviously from the 2 years you've done food and whatnot, and we'll kind of start with you because I know I always bring way too much stuff for some reason, even though I plan as much as I can. Do you feel from the previous year that you did to this year that you came with just the right amount of stuff, you know, too much, too little, or did you find that you got a good format that you kind of learned from doing catering that you could kind of share with folks?
Oh, you always make more than you think you're going to need. So you got to plan for hungry Field Day operators, you know, and I don't know who's going to eat, you know, two or three sandwiches, or who's going to just eat a half of one and be all set. So, you know, you get a plan for it. And, you know, we did pretty well. And Kim and I, you know, we went over the menu beforehand and decided that it was a good menu for a group and for a group that, you know, would like to make their own kind of things, you know, like some people like spicy and some like sweet. And, you know, when you can take something and kind of make it the way that you like it, it's always better. It's like the sandwiches, you know, here's a blank canvas and every topping you can imagine, you know, and everybody's going to get a sandwich they like that way.
Including and the
I really like
whatever it is.
I liked doing it that way. And that was another fun time. Ryan had mentioned when we were all in the under the tent and I came out to eat my sandwich and I was looking at everybody like, well, all this hot sauce, we got to, you know, who wants to try the Thunder Juice?
Yeah, that's, you know, what it was.
And Thunder Juice was the Thunder Juice was the hottest one. I bought it at the chili.
I think Ryan needs to elaborate on that a little bit because it wasn't a small little drop.
Know, I think the warning said, you know, use sparingly, you know, just a couple drops. Yeah. And Tim had
the guy literally sold poured that to me?
The hot sauce onto the sandwich.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not going to waste it. So I took a big bite and it kept me warm. That's
right. He had the most generous portion of all of that. And he handled it too. Cause it's like, I could tell Ryan's been to like India and this and that. Cause
I think the last comment stuff, Ryan said,
he took that thunder juice, like nobody's business, you know? And, there was a holster. The guy who was selling it, he had a holster for his hot sauce. He'd whip it out of the holster and say, "Oh, try some of this." And
yeah, he
has it no was taste great. Now, you know, and I tried some of the same stuff, the Thunder Juice, and you know, I put a lot on there, and you know, it's an experience for about 15, 20 minutes after you eat it because you're still sweating. And yeah. It cleans all the roaches out of your liver. So,
amongst other things later.
I had the sweet one there, the tiger sauce for, you know, anybody who wasn't into that whole, you're going to die if you eat this thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people tried all the different ones. And I had Tabasco and I had the most common one there. Everybody puts it on. I made some mayonnaise out of it.
Oh, the Chipotle one?
Sriracha.
Oh.
And I put some sriracha out there, and, you know, everybody likes sriracha, so I think everybody found something that they liked.
So would you think all in all from previous 2 years, from last year to this year, that you fared better and you had kind of a better, you know, system going for you?
Yeah. I think it was a lot better, and I think, you know, Kim and I did a lot of cooking on the grill the first year, And you saw my grill. I have a really big grill and lunking that thing around and setting up. And I made a vat of homemade Canadian beans. You know, I had hot dogs and beans. And that's, for me, that was the perfect Saturday night meal, because that's what we ate growing up on Saturday nights. Right. My parents made hot dogs and beans. It was just what we had on Saturday night. And I figured, you know, probably a lot of people around here grew up around here, ate beans and hot dogs on Saturday. So Saturday it was beans and hot dogs. And, you know, it was good, but it was very labor intensive, and we had to keep everything hot. And I think the sandwiches were a lot easier to manage. We could keep everything cool instead of hot. And but in the morning time, we did a continental breakfast with a pudding trifle,
which rocked,
and fresh fruit. And everybody liked that, with the different layers of pudding and Oreos. And Mike even told me, Mike W1EA told me, don't tell Evelyn I'm having this for breakfast, because it was, it's dessert for breakfast.
It's now on YouTube, so we can't keep the secret any longer. But
sorry, Mike.
So we went to my family would go to this camp called Camp Sunshine. It was basically a camp for families who experienced their kids who had cancer. So, real brief, my stepdaughter had cancer when she was one, and she's totally fine now when she's 15. But we would go there, and one of the best breakfasts they had was waffles and ice cream. That's what they'd serve. And the kids love that one. I even liked it. I was like, that's a good breakfast. Nice big waffle with a scoop of ice cream on it. Some chocolates.
For next year, I'm looking forward to the omelet. I think that's going to be a great hit. So
I do have a waffle maker, and
you got my pretty waffles.
Yeah, bring some official New Hampshire
stuff. My grandfather used to make he'd make the crepe, the eggy crepe pancake, you know, and
those are good.
Boy, that stuff is good with brown sugar and cinnamon on it. And
we're totally
omelets next year. I need the little flat top that I can. Not the big giant grill. I'm going to bring a smaller flat top, and I'll make them up to order, you know. And I know how to do grill cooks, so I can do omelets to order for everybody.
Yeah, we got a couple of
griddles. Build your own.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we can I'm also sure start, that, you know, if you want to contribute to our Patreon to fund Tim's future kitchens for our club cooking, so you can see all of us get super fattened up, then you know, please donate to our Patreon and just direct it directly to him, and we'll make sure you know, it gets to you know, the appropriate areas.
And all we need is a concession trailer, with a flyolator, an ice cream freezer, a flat top, and a broiler, and
there you go.
A small pizza oven, and I think we'll be good.
Well, you forgot the two most important things. You need a VHF, UHF radio, and at least an HF radio. Come on. So, you know, you round out the corners and you're good there. Sweet.
You know, Tim, you should kind of talk to Bill, our president of our club, W1WRA. You know, he's always bragging about his green egg and all the stuff he's cooking. We might want to, like, tap into him with that green egg. Maybe he can add to our dinner meal with some good grilling stuff.
Ham radio, food, you know, hanging out. This is a good combination here.
We might be the dominant club, not in points, but in food alone.
That's right. The reputation was pretty quickly.
That I like.
Spiking the new membership.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. I do like the barbecue. And I have done a pig roast many times with I use a mop to baste the pig. You know, I make a big vat of barbecue sauce, and I get a deck mop and deck mop the barbecue sauce on the pig, you know, and that's kind of fun. But last time my sister had me do a pig roast at her house. And I don't think they realized what that entailed. So I put the head on the platter and, with an apple in its mouth, and I laid all the meat around it. And I carried the pig head into our kitchen and put it down. And boy, my sisters were mortified. They never asked me to do anything ever again.
So Tim,
I said,
so
come people, on, you know where it came from.
Tim, so people who are listening, so you have, the reason you're our cook is because you used to be a cook before you did what you're doing now, correct? Or a chef?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was the executive chef at Daniel Webster College for about 10 years. And I ran the galley on a merchant marine ship. SUNY Maritime College hired me to run the galley on the TSS Empire State. And we cooked through the worst conditions because it was a training ship and we were steering into the bad weather. So it was pretty interesting to try to cook turkey dinner for people while the oven doors are bungeed shut and you're watching the ship go like this and like this and the juice is running out of the oven and you got to try not to get lit on fire, you know?
Nice.
So he's bad weather today, you know. So Tim, we're gonna make sandwiches, not, you know.
Tim's not just a guy that got stuck with the cooking. He's actually he's a professional.
Yeah, totally. He has to be around us.
I'm a classically trained chef. I had a mentor and I spent years studying under him and yeah, he showed me how to cook for a crowd. So, and I retired from that, but I still enjoy doing that for you guys because you guys are my buddies, you know. And I like cooking for Kim and with my wife. And I just don't do it commercially anymore. But at home, I really do enjoy everything about that. We hardly ever have to go out to eat. That's for sure. Now we make
so obviously after
at the house
after Todd's DX10 meltdown and whatnot. Obviously, one of the things I've got a little bullet point that I want to talk about was anything you might have done differently, Todd. You know, knowing obviously the ICOM came to save your day and your bacon, as they say. Anything you would have, you know, kind of taken a little bit more time in the back end of stuff before field day kind of rolled through to improve upon for next year?
Well, I definitely would have, if I had the time, I would have set up the thing to figure out I was inverted and had that done. What I am learning, and I have notes, is my goal is to have a field day so I'm more like Paul, who is totally set up and good to go and doesn't need any help and gets it done. So that's my goal for next year. I mean, I'm getting there. I got to get the radio, make sure that's right. I thought it was working. You know, I don't know when they went, but I haven't used it in a while because of the other radio. So I don't know. But that's one of the things I'd like to get done for next year is – and be self-sufficient, meaning not have to borrow anything. Paul comes in and basically has everything he possibly could need to get his station up and running, where I still need an antenna because I think I hooked up to yours both years, some coax, but stuff like a fan, like you brought the fan for the thing. So I know next year, bring a big fan because you want to keep that air flowing in that shelter so you're not so hot.
Yep.
So
cool. How about you, Ryan? What do you know, obviously you didn't do field day this year, but you were kind of privy to seeing what was going on. Anything you kind of take away from that?
Yeah, you know, having some backups to some of the important, you know, maybe a spare battery in case someone underestimated their the load they're pulling, or you know, an extra different style antenna, or being able to help wherever I think would be looking forward to for next year. Like I said earlier, now I'm shopping for a nice shelter, you know, that has the rain flies on the side and, you know, can lower it if it gets wet or keep them up for the airflow. I did pick up some nice comfortable chairs, so that'll be nice. But also I did see one setup that, they had a lot of stuff, you know, external speakers and adapters and this and that. And so I'm always trying to gear towards, you know, my philosophy of keeping it simple, clean, you know, minimalist, so that it is easy to set up. And if you do have an issue, you can troubleshoot it more directly. You know, there's, you're minimizing the number of connections and just hardware that's sitting on the table. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point, because I'm hoping once I get my Go Box done, it's going to be like how the ICOM was, you know, put it in, plug it in, turn it on, and voila, it works.
Yep.
So everything will be in one box. So that'll keep it simple. My battery seemed to last, right? I didn't even use that much juice, you know, for what we used it for. And I just left it on. So I think that battery that I have should last the full 24 hours, you know, even being on. So next year I want to get solar panels hooked up to it, just to keep it charged, at least during the day, keep it topped off. And so those are some of the notes I took down, but looking forward to next year. Should be fun.
Yep. Yeah, very cool. So yeah, Tim, anything from either the cooking side of things or just in general from the, you know, participating at the CW station and whatnot that you kind of gleaned that you think, you know, we should include next year or talk about or, you know, address?
I really did have a good time, and I tried to get around to all the stations and see what everybody was doing. And I liked Todd's tent, especially for having a group of people inside operating. Yeah, it was a good setup for that. I think that was the trouble during Winterfield Day, and was, you know, just having a smaller tent, it's hard to get a whole bunch of people in comfortably. And seemed like Todd had the right idea in that big battery. I felt very fortunate to be able to sit with some of the guys in the club who do CW and do it really well. And just very lucky to watch them operate. And I felt I took a little bit away from that and helped myself maybe get a little better. You know, I wasn't reading as fast or sending as fast as any of these guys, but someday I will. You just got to keep practicing. And
it was really neat to watch Tom AC1J operate on his CW skills. I know you were kind of shadowing him there, Tim, and it was neat to see someone who's you know, well versed in the code, you know, just tap away at that. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, one thing I'd say.
Yeah, and the other thing. Go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Todd.
All right, I'll go. One of the things I think we need to kind of investigate is when Casey was doing FT8, even though he was on a different band, I was still getting a lot of noise. And it happened last year too, and then it disappeared. So I don't know why that happens, but I was getting like the every 15 seconds. I'm like, oh, Casey's transmitting.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
You had one thing to mention, Tim. Go ahead, before I kind of, you know, throw in my few things.
Yeah, I just have one last thing. One thing that I noticed that was really helpful, I noticed Ryan doing this, and Bill too, and Bill Freeman, who's here watching, doing this. These guys were helping with technical problems. And I noticed you were doing it also, Eric, and you were all jumping in and helping everybody at different points with technical issues. And I think that technical support is very important during an event like this, because if something happens, there's a lot of experience there, and someone who knows this happened to before can jump in and help out to keep things moving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point there. I think all of those are totally like spot on, and all of them, my, you know, definitely on my top 10 list. I think the biggest thing, at least as being the 2 years or 3 years that I've done, you know, coordinating our field day, the one thing I've learned the most that I keep still coming back to that we haven't quite nailed down is, and Todd touched upon it a little bit in terms of the, you know, filtering and, you know, antennas. One of the things that we got to work a little bit more on in our location, and our field day location is a great location, is to kind of spread our antennas farther out from the points that we're operating from to get, you know, the maximum distance to, you know, dealing with some of those issues where, you know, Todd, you had mentioned we're getting splattering and, you know, we're picking up, you know, some of the FT8 signals across, you know, 20 meter band and stuff like that. A couple of that might solve it with bandpass filters. One of the things I wanted to try this year that we couldn't seem to track down, and then as everyone probably knows that, you know, owns a, you know, a decent antenna that wants to, you know, share it amongst radios, is a, you know, trying to pick up a triplex or a, you know, duplex or whatever is for HF is very difficult these days to get a really good one. And, you know, they're just not, you know, they're primarily out of Russia. So the lucky that we'll get a lot of the supply coming this way will be for a long time coming. But, you know, trying to get one of those and then get bandpass filters, I think might have remedied some of those situations. It wouldn't fully, you know, clear up a lot of the things, but it probably would have, you know, cut down on the stepping on of FT8 and CW and stuff like that. Because I do remember the 2 years ago that we had same similar issues with the CW tent being relatively close to a couple other verticals and having your antennas kind of, you know, be opposites of each other, vertical versus, you know, wire antennas, that type of stuff. And you know, basically getting them away from each other versus bringing them closer in can help those scenarios. So I think, you know, that's a big thing. One of the other pieces that I, you know, that we probably, that I gleaned that I think would have been a little bit as a life lesson to grow upon would be more around the idea of, you know, coordinating our, yeah, we really didn't do it this year. I can't say that we did it last year. Last year, we struggled a little bit in terms of just getting enough help during the day in terms of, you know, just people and bodies to be able to kind of help take a lot of the load. And but this year, we were all ready for that. And then we, you know, we got so much rain that, you know, we had no public and, you know, very little involvement. You know, the other, you know, the other struggle is that you just get into a place where you just, you know, if you can't, you know, use all those people that were willing to volunteer, you know, because there's rain, then, you know, guess what? You they're kind of all sitting around. So I felt the kind of a bummer there that we, you know, the weather kind of thwarted some of that stuff. But, you know, one of the things I saw last year, which was really awesome, and I'd love to be able to continue to replicate it, would be just that whole education side of things where the public was just so, like, excited to, you know, be, you know, involved and learn about ham radio and understand what it meant to their church organizations or their, you know, their clubs that are part of, you know, that might need, you know, we're talking about, you know, how they can do neighborhood watches and all that stuff. So there's a lot of conversations had by that I kind of was like, oh, I was hoping to have again this year, but because of what, you know, transpired, we just didn't really get a chance to do that. But I think doing that a little bit more and getting, you know, the word out in that area where you're really just telling people about the hobby, because, you know, as we all know, and we all share and we all enjoy, you know, ham radio, it's a great, you know, experience. It's fun to get out and, you know, it kind of dovetails into my last final question. And you guys have like any great, you know, kind of one-off stories about the ham conversions, as we, you know, what I'll call them, of folks that you might've bumped into that, you know, normally weren't operating, you know, or just where's experience, you know, field day for the first time this year, that mentioned that they, you know, they were interested in more of the hobby.
What I know, Paul's grandson, K-A-1-P-A-T, he had attended there and had a good time, you know, following his grandpa around the various tents, and you know, maybe sparked an interest there in the hobby. I'm not sure, but he definitely had a good little exposure for a couple hours there, so I thought that was pretty neat.
Well, I feel bad because he came to my station and I had him get on and call it out and do it.
Oh,
I
said, dude, you're doing right.
It. And it didn't have any. He tried and tried and tried, and he couldn't.
You thwarted it. I totally.
Right. So I told Paul, I said, listen, man, he goes, we got to take him out to a POTA activation and then he'll have fun. As I guarantee you, he'll make contacts. But I'm like, I couldn't understand why we weren't making the contacts. And the poor kid was trying and I didn't want him to get discouraged. I'm like, you got to keep saying it. But really, it wasn't his fault. So I'm going to reach out to Paul and say, hey, one of these weekends, let's get your grandson and let's go to a park and let him play some real radio.
Very cool. You know, any those stories, Tim, for yourself?
No, but I did enjoy seeing Paul with his grandsons, and Ryan brought his son, and you brought your kids, and you know, it seems like, and your brother came, you know, and family came, and just had a really good time. And I'm looking forward to doing it again next year.
Yeah.
And definitely count me in. As long as I'm able, I will. So
cool. Yeah, I think for me, one anecdotal story that I have is kind of my daughter. She's got her ticket. She got her ticket, long story short, you know, as a surprise to dad, you know, a while back. And that was great. And so she's kind of, I didn't let her do too much. I mean, I let her figure out what she wanted to do in the hobby. Long story short of it, she brought her friend, you know, who's, you know, one of her close friends to field day. And she was just totally blown away by the whole experience and how fun, you know, radio could be and, you know, what it is that she's literally walked away from it. And, you know, my daughter keeps telling me, she's like, yeah, she keeps talking about it all the time. And I'm like, well, have you gotten her to the ham study stuff? You know, let's get going. So, you know, she's already sent her the link. So I think, you know, she'll pretty much be a ham sooner than later. And, you know, it's funny because the one thing that they both said when they left field day that night was like, we're coming back next year and we're going to do an all girls station. Now I'm like, totally like, dude, it doesn't have to be an all girls station, but
I did hear her say that.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to encourage this. This is something I'm going to push hard. So, you know, we can get, you know, I would love to have, like, we have a couple of ladies in our club that, you know, definitely, you know, they are great operators and they can definitely be great operators, but I think a lot of times they just step to the side to let the guys do some things sometimes. But I want them to get out there and pull all the weight, you know, and basically come out, you know, neck and neck with the CW station next year, whatever that's going to look like. So I think, you know, with my daughter at the helm, because she's a type of like myself.
Eric, all they got to do is get an open frequency and just start calling out and we're done. They're going to be in it. You know, they're not going to be able to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have to set up a schedule specifically for that.
Yep, absolutely.
You could get a Hello Kitty tent.
Oh, I won't go that far. My daughter's not a Hello Kitty fan, but anyway.
Then we'll all stay away from it, and the girls will have it all to themselves for sure.
I guess Bill had a little girl operate CW and whatnot. So it's pretty cool on that side. Bill actually I appreciate Bill coming to sign the education tent. He did CW specific, where he was just, you know, he set up two more Serenos, and, you know, even though it was pouring rain and we had a little, you know, very little foot traffic or whatnot, he totally stepped in and showed everybody CW. He had two more Serenos. He took my more Sereno, which, mind you, was broken, and I appreciate it, Bill, because it was only half fully soldered. I should have, you know, really finished it off, but I got bored and moved on.
That'll be a topic for another evening.
Good thing I gave that thing back.
Yeah,
I
so
I was going to break it, you know. It's like,
it's still working great. You know, actually, my daughter loves it now, too. So I appreciate Bill. Thanks for fixing that for her. So now she gets to play around with it and, you know, fool around with CW and not have to, you know, worry about whether the key is hooked up to my oscillator or the radio. That was a great experience that, you know, encouraged me. And so, you know, it also opened up my wallet, because my daughter's like, well, you know, all I have is an HT dad. And it's Todd's laughing. He knows that there's gonna be 300 probably in the Jeep, and her Jeep in the next week or two. So I think we're taking a trip to the candy store, and you know, we'll get her an antenna and a radio. And
not very good.
Process. Yeah. So
you gonna get her a tri-bander?
No, we'll give her a dual bander. She'll be good there. She'll get something like dad has. So if she has questions, I can answer them and, you know, not have to think about it.
Very cool.
So, all right, cool. Well, hey, let's wrap this up a little bit. Again, appreciate all the comments in the chat there, and keep them coming as well. Bill, we will definitely, I take my daughter on POTA all the time, just to, you know, make a comment there. She's been on there. I actually have a recording on my radio of her voice, and I use that, you know, in the most inopportune times. Yeah, I know. I have a story about a POTA event that I did that I'll share some other time, but ultimately that's how I actually secured the 10, you know, 10 contacts in the park with her voice. So there's a bunch of angry hams that have learned not to answer always a female voice. So, you know, so with that, yeah, she's definitely on it. Yeah, she is my secret weapon when it comes to that. So yeah, we'll be on vacation. I'm sure you'll hear a female voice calling, you know, CQ sometime soon.
It's an extra 6 dB.
Oh, totally, easily, especially if you have a 3BD plus antenna on top of that. You're putting out 9 dB, man, dude. That's amazing. Yep. So any last kind of final things you guys want to mention about field day? You know, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent?
Well, this is good because we have the next one's Winter Field Day. And, you know, so it's just more planning and it's just going to get better and better. So I think this is, we're off to a good roll here.
Yeah, totally. That is next on the plans. How about you, Todd, or how about you, Kim?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next year. Like I said, I'm hoping I'll be more smoother. It seems like every year something happens on my station for whatever reason it may be, but, I'm going to be more prepared and make sure the radio is working this time. And, my next purchase will be the solar panels to keep that battery going. But, I don't even know if I needed that, the solar panels, but it's a good safety, mechanism in case it does die out. But, yeah, we'll do it again next year.
Very cool. Tim, how about you?
Not too much else to add, but I just want to say, you know, all of us appreciate what you do, Eric, and I love hanging around with you guys and playing radio, and looking forward to next year, and we're going to have a good time doing it, and that's why we do it.
Yep.
And cool. I hope everybody has a nice evening. Thanks for watching the podcast, and give it back to Eric.
Yeah, I would say, you know, for me, Field Day is definitely about radio. That's on my top three, and playing radio. We are not a contest group by any stretch of the imagination with our club. And that's what I love about us, is that we aren't now fighting for points. But I think our big strength is the social side of it and just making connections. And we talked about sitting around campfires and, you know, enjoying, you know, steaks with each other and a good, good drink and, you know, good company. And so those are the moments that I cherish the most. And if I could walk away with every Field Day that always happens, then, you know, I've got a success, you know, in the success column for me, every year. So, you know, totally love, you know, that whole aspect, and, you know, love, hanging out with you guys as well. You definitely, you know, are great brothers, and, you know, good to hang around with, and love to play radio with you. So I think with that, again, thank you for being part of our live, Hammond. Oh my gosh, I did it again. My gosh, put me out in the, you know, the pasture, Live Free and Ham podcast. We truly value your support. We'd love to hear about, you know, your Field Day experiences. Head over to our website, and comment, and, you know, share some of your experiences. And as always, you know, you can always reach out to any one of our hosts, first and foremost, but obviously visiting livefreeandham.com. You can also follow us on all of our socials at Live Free and Ham Podcast as well. And to reach out to any one of our hosts here as well, how could they get in touch with you, Tim?
Everybody can check out my website at kc1qdk.com. Or they can write me an email at kc1qdk@gmail.com.
Cool. And how about you, Ryan?
Yep. So website's w1snh.com, and it's Ryan at w1snh.com.
And w1stj.com and w1stj.nh@gmail.com to email me.
Very cool. And as always, you can reach me and find me at n1jur.com or n1jur.nh@gmail.com. And to get a hold of all of us at the podcast, you can always fill out our comment form or email us at livefreeandhampod@gmail.com. As always, thanks for listening and participating in this live chat. It was great for us. Looking forward to doing a heck of a lot more. So thanks again for participating. Spread the love, let others know about us, and definitely please provide a review if you can. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 73.
73. 73.